You're listening to the Missing Piece Podcast. I'm your host, Randy Scott Carroll of Prismatic Radio. The Missing Piece Podcast is where every couple of weeks we sit down with some of the most interesting musicians and creators in the music world today. This week is the band Lowland Hum, a singer-songwriter duo of Lauren and Daniel Gones. We had such a great time talking. We actually have a few mutual friends we were able to connect over, and let me tell you, these guys are truly bringing something unique to their music. And it's not just about their songs. Not only have they been in the top 10 on Amazon singer-songwriter charts, as well as the top 15 on iTunes singer-songwriter charts, their strengths also extend into their live performances as well. With handmade lyric books that get distributed during their shows and beautiful installations they've made for their set, we talk about all of that and more, including their newest self-titled album and why they decided to make it self-titled in the interview. Take a listen.
So some ways that we've tried to kind of go our own way or do something creative kind of came from a friend of ours coming to see us perform very early on and saying, hey, you know, there are lots of guy-girl harmony duos out there. You guys should ask yourselves, what about the two of you is not like all those other ones? And the biggest thing, I've been doing music in different bands since I was like 15 years old. So I had all experience in the music world, that's it. And then Lauren had never done any music. So her background being in visual art, we started thinking about that. And I also was an English major in school, so I loved reading and writing songs and other things. So we first handmade lyric books. So we hand sewed these books with a friend of ours who makes books. He taught us how. And we made 100 of them, and we toured with those for a year.
We just numbered the songs.
Yeah.
Each song had a number. I laid it out on the computer. We printed it. It was pretty like a pretty low-budget operation, but we printed out all the pages on our home printing, like our home printer.
Yeah.
And
I was like in the airport folding them.
Wasted so much money on ink because our printer just kept messing up, and we'd have to keep buying all these ink cartridges. We could have just had it printed somewhere else. But anyway, so we printed them ourselves and bound them and started passing those out at shows. I think the first was a batch of like 100 books.
And we'd pass them out, before each song, say it's this number if you'd like to follow along. Yeah, that was one of the first things we did. And at the same time, we thought about like, we'd love to give people something to look at other than us, some other element to kind of like help them be drawn into the experience, and also something to set the space apart, the performance space. So Lauren made an installation.
It was kind of like bunting flags, little triangular flags. I made them out of white leather and like a sheer muslin fabric made of hemp, and strung lights through them. And we just set them up wherever we performed. I think the idea was to offer an experience for people to be present with one another, to kind of break up the noise. Even though they're going to a show technically to hear noise of a certain kind, we wanted to offer something that felt like a respite from the noise of daily life, and to draw them into a moment with other people and with themselves. That was kind of the idea behind that stuff. We decided to make the second album self-titled, I think because so much change had occurred sonically. It's just a very different album than our first album, and it seemed to us like the people that really connected with our first album really connected with the sparseness of the arrangements, and kind of I feel like our first album, Native Air, has a very consistent feeling all the way through it, or throughout it, I guess. And this newer album kind of goes a lot of different places, and it has a lot more instrumentation, and some of the songs have a livelier feel to them. And I think we wanted to present it as, like, this is also Lowland Hum, you know. We felt nervous in the studio as songs begin to grow and seem to require more instrumentation. We kind of felt nervous about, I think we thought we had a grasp on what was essential to our sound, but it just all really changed when we were in the studio. And as we started recording, we just felt like certain songs required more than things in the past had. And so we self-titled it, I think, in a way to reinforce the idea that we can change and that we don't have to make the same feeling music or same sounding music. Yeah, we wrote the song Olivia in Oskaloosa, Kansas. We were staying with this couple that built their house on this plot of farmland. We met them through Airbnb once, and then they just said, next time you're in the area, just please stay with us, you don't have to pay us. They're just really beautiful people that farm their land, and they have sheep and chickens, and they like carved the beams of this house themselves. I mean, everything is so beautiful and intentional. And so we were staying in this cottage they built to the side of their house and had spent the day walking around the downtown, in quotes, area of their town. It was not too small of a downtown, but pretty small. And it was just like a picturesque day. There's like this bandstand in the park in the middle of town, and there's like a brass band playing music and people everywhere, and just kind of like everything that you want for a really beautiful day was there. And it was a sunny day, and but we were just struggling, like, I guess emotionally, both of us, regardless of all these wonderful things in the day. And so we were sitting in the cottage later that day and wrote the lyrics to Olivia and the melodies. And it's really just a song about that, about like everything being in place for there to be a beautiful day, but then it just not being a beautiful day for some reason. Or you just like can't communicate, or you're not on the same page. But it was a very funny day. That day they slaughtered chickens. We woke up to the sound of them slaughtering chickens and observed part of the process of it. And it was extremely humane, actually, and really beautiful to see how they handled that process. But it was definitely something we never would have expected, you know, to get to encounter while on the road, chicken slaughter. So that's kind of a funny story about Olivia, I guess. Oh, spread a smile across your face. I want to have a good time with
you. Brought low by the mistletoe. Recollected lost dreams.
On Under the Rub, when I was working on the song, I was thinking about the sort of thing that you think about on the road, or when friends of yours start to have success and you don't, or when, you know, you have these hero songwriters that you're like, I hope I write one line that's as good as any line of theirs, you know, stuff like that. I would have these thoughts like that. But even in the same hour that I'm like thinking about all this stuff, like 10 different times, my phone would light up, and all of a sudden my train of thought is completely interrupted. I'm looking at it and I'm distracted by it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just like spent 15 minutes. Or I'm even writing the song, but I'm like recording it on my iPhone, and I'm like I'm totally in it, and then it's like, I'm like, oh. It just became such a symbol of kind of like how fragmented and distractible and not present I am, or you know, and
even
so,
with all your intention to be
right, present. even with like even during processes that are really intentional and like in some ways, yeah, focused and you know, trying to be thoughtful about lyrics. And that when I write a line that is mediocre, I can often tell like, okay, not great, and then I'm kind of like, crap, and I have to like scratch it out. So I guess the song kind of started there, and then, you know, I'm writing this song about all these other things, and then I'm just like, I just start singing that, the line about the cell phone, and I'm like, I think I just need, that's the chorus. Like, I think that's the chorus of the song. And then, you know, then Lauren got involved and helped me finish it. And the bridge is an anecdote, and it also can double as it can double and mean more. It doesn't just mean the anecdote, obviously. I mean, it doesn't just describe the experience, but I was in a green room trying to finish the song. Someone's texting me about the show that night. There's a song playing in the green room at the bar of the venue. Another song was playing, and in the restaurant next door, another song was playing. And the band that was opening for us was warming up, playing another song. So it says, in the room surrounding 10 songs play at once. And then one of the guys in the other band had been trying to get into medical school for about 8 years, and he finally did. And so while I'm writing the about all these songs, like taking my attention from what I'm trying to do, everyone cheers outside, and he got in. And so it says, a long-awaited cheer erupts. And it's like kind of a metaphor, but also it's about my buddy who had this dream, and like, he loves music too, but his main thing was, I want to be a doctor, and I want to help people in that active way with my hands, you know. And so, but then even that great triumphant moment, it's like right back into the chorus again, and that's when we do the chorus 4 times at the end of the song. So
it's kind of it is hard to like fit new technology and things that are so a part of our world right now into songs and it not sound like it just robs the song of all the poetic, all the poetry, I guess. But it's something that everybody deals with, and it's such a part of our lives. People can't tell whether or not to laugh or whether or not it's like condemning. We are condemning ourselves in it, you know? Like, we're not saying, like, all you people. We're saying, like, we do this. I think everybody probably looks at their cell phone more than they want to, you know? It is kind of funny how much everyone looks at their phone, us included. And also sad. It's both.
Thanks for listening to the Missing Piece podcast with our guest this week, Lolan Hum. You can go to their website, lolanhum.com, to find out more about them, buy their record. Also follow them on Twitter at Lolan Hum. Again, this has been the Missing Piece podcast. You can find out more about Missing Piece Group at missingpiecegroup.com. Be sure and follow us on iTunes, give us a rating, and tell your friends. My name is Randy Scott Carroll of Prismatic Radio. Thanks. Bye-bye.